in the book of Luke, chapter number 15. Luke, chapter number 15. Very familiar reading to you this morning, but it's on my heart. Chapter number 15 in the book of Luke, and I want to begin reading verse number 11. When you find your place, stand with us, and we'll honor the Bible. And he said, this is talking about Jesus, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Yes. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Yes. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found, and they began to be merry. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence, O God, this morning again, thanking you, Lord, for every blessing. We thank you, Lord, for your love and for your mercy. We thank you, dear God, for your salvation. Thank you, Lord, for your church, these that are gathered here. We pray, Lord, your blessings in the service today, Lord, that we pray, Father, for those that are not saved. Lord, that perhaps they're in the midst of us this morning, Lord. They've never been acquainted with the grace of God. Father, I pray today, Lord, that you'd touch them. Draw them, Lord, with an everlasting drawing. Save them this morning, Lord. We ask you, Father, if they be one here, that maybe they've drifted away. Lord, they're not where they used to be. But Lord, I pray for them and ask you, Lord, that you'd bring them back into your bosom. We ask you, Father, again, that you'd anoint us afresh with fresh oil. Give us words to say, Lord, that your word would go out and prick the hearts and the lives of every man, woman, boy, and girl in this building. We ask you now to go with us in the service today and what you do for us. We'll be careful to thank you, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What a beautiful parable. What a beautiful picture. When you read this, there's not a time that I've ever read this by what it doesn't do something to my heart. When I read this, I pay close attention because it's so much like all of us. Probably as we read this, we're looking into a mirror and we're seeing our own reflection when we look at this son. Many of us see our reflection when we look at the other son. The Bible said the certain man had two sons. One of them that knew he was lost, and the other one that didn't know he was lost. I want you to know this morning, that's a predicament both ways. That's a terrible position to be in. One that knows they're lost, and one that don't know they're lost. They're both headed in the same direction. Amen. This morning, perhaps you're here and you may be like the one son. You may be like him that knows because of the condition that you're in, that you know that you need something, that you know that you need the Lord, and you know that you're lost. And if you were to die without Him this morning, you'll die and split hell wide open. There's a certain expectation of fear and judgment that sets up in the heart of the lost. Amen. Those that know that they're saved, they know that they're headed to judgment and they're headed to a devil's hell if they don't get saved. But what a tragedy for those that don't know that they're lost. A lot of times they hang on religion. A lot of times they'll sit in the church pews and perhaps they go through the motions and they read their Bible and they come to Sunday school and they put their best on for Sunday, for church, and they sit where how the rest of the people sit, and how they know the right answers to the questions, and they know all the stories how that the preacher preaches on in the Bible, but they don't know the author of the Bible, and they've never been saved. What a terrible position to be in this morning. How that was the place of this other son, how that had been in his father's house all this time, but did not recognize the music nor the dancing and the celebrating. He was void of understanding. Thus, he did not know he was lost. But those that were like the first son, the younger of the two, the Bible tells us that he had desired all his inheritance. All what he was doing was he was now walking away. He was walking away from his father. He was walking away from his raising. He was walking away and entering into a life of despair. And the Bible tells us that his father gave him all of his living and began to give him his inheritance. Now, I want to tell you today a little bit about the father. If the Lord will help me for a few minutes, I want to talk about this father. First of all, you notice here the very favor of this father. Did you know that our Heavenly Father favors us? Amen. Do you know He respects our choice? The Bible tells us He made us in the image and in the likeness of Himself. And so He made us a people of intelligence, intellect, and He made us a people of choice and the ability to choose. And He respects that choice. Amen. And He gives us the potential to choose good or evil. He gives us the potential to choose life or death. But what the tragedy of it all is, even though Adam, the first man, rejected God and plunged the whole human race into sin and into death, He still loves you this morning. He never has lost His favor for you. Amen. And for God still so loves the world. Amen. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a story where God shows His favor towards this young man. And you find some words in the Bible that will show the very favor that that the Father had for the Son. The Bible teaches of these words. He first of all talks about the word forbearance. You know what the word forbearance means? It's a word that literally means to put off judgment or to delay His wrath. And I'm glad that the mercies of God is from everlasting to everlasting. I thank God for His forbearance, that God has put that off for a short period of time, that you and I or the Son could come home. Amen. That the Son could come home. He gave even Jezebel a space to repent. As wicked as a woman as Jezebel was, God gave her a space to repent in God's mercy, long suffering, and forbearance towards usward has put off the judgment, has put off the wrath on my behalf and your behalf, that one day we could come back home to be with Him forever and forever. What a word! What a Savior! What a Father! Amen. Has forbearance with us. But then you notice the word foreknowledge.
You'll find that word showed in the text by the fatted calf. The Bible tells us that the Father has put up a calf. You know what that calf represents? That represents God the Father as having foreknowledge that the Son was going to come home. Well, bless His holy name. I'm glad, thank God, they are sons of God that want Him, that'll come back to Him. The Bible said that the Father, when the Son came, He said, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this reason, we're killing this fatted calf. For this reason, we put this calf up. He said, my Son was dead and is alive again. Hallelujah. He said, and they began to be merry. I want you to know this morning that our Heavenly Father, amen, He has foreknowledge. He knows those who are going to come home, and He knows those who are going to reject Him. Notice the second son. The Bible said, lived there in his father's house, but was far, far away from home. And as far as I know, never did come home. Amen. Spiritually speaking, he never did turn back to the Father. But the younger son, in the foreknowledge of God, what a beautiful picture of the sons of men has become the sons of God.
Amen.
Amen. And so we find that beautiful word. But then you'll find the word forgiveness bound up in this father. The Bible said when he arose and came to his father, he said he is a great way off. And his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But notice the father's response. He said, the father said to the servants, he said, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put on a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring me the fatted calf. What a beautiful picture in the forgiveness of the Heavenly Father. Amen. I tell you, what he could have done was set that young man and give him a big chewing. You know what that means, don't you? Yeah. Amen. You ever been chewed out?
Yeah.
You ever been chewed out by your father? I have. But I want to tell you, he didn't do that. Amen. Because of the forgiveness of God, his blessed son, Jesus Christ, taking upon him our sins.
Amen.
You remember what he said? He said, I've sinned against heaven. And he said, and in thy sight. But you never find the Father addressing the sin, because the sin was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ for our forgiveness of sin at the cross of Calvary. Our Father did it all. Hallelujah. When he paid the price for our sin debt. And my friend, because of that, we have the forgiveness of sin. What a beautiful word. What a needful expression of the forgiveness of sin. Do you know what it feels like when you hear somebody say, I forgive you? When you've done some sin against your fellow man or brother, many times there's a desperate separation because of fault, failures, and sins. Mistakes often are made. And sometimes I want to turn their back on the other. And for years and years, they won't have anything to do with one another. I may have told the story here before, but my mother and her brother, years and years ago when they were young, they were Germans, and my father was an American, and he was fighting. He was stationed in Germany, and he met my mother, and they began to date, and my mother's brother was mad at my mother for dating an American. And so one day, my mother's brother got angry at my mother and hit her and knocked her teeth out of her mouth. And for years and years and years, they would not speak to one another, wouldn't have anything to do with one another. But just about the time when my mother's brother was laying on his deathbed, He requested to see Kathy. He wanted to see his sister before he leaves this walks of life. Mama went over there to her parents and went over to Germany at his passing and went into his room. And he looked at her with tears in his eyes. And she began to weep. And he said, I just wanted and needed to say that I'm sorry for what I did years ago. And my mother looked at him and said, I forgive you. Yeah. And said, matter of fact, I forgave you a long time ago. And oh, praise his holy name. And that's the way our heavenly Father is. And before the foundation of the world was ever laid, a forgiveness was laid down in the plan of man's redemption. Oh, thank God when he said, I forgive. What a blessed word. Many of us feel undeserving. This young man said, I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'm sure he felt that way, aren't you? I remember when I came to the Lord when I was lost. And I said, Lord, if you'll have me just like I am, there ain't a thing in the world I've got you won't. And what, I didn't have enough money? Not a thing in the world I could bring him worthy of what he'd done for me. But you know he loved me anyhow. Amen. And he forgave me. Amen. Amen. And covered me by his sin. But then you notice you find a strange word in this. You find the word forever. Forever. Amen. Now you don't find this young man ever leaving his father's house again. Amen. Amen. The story ends with him forever. Yeah. Do you remember Mephibosheth when the king said, bring him here for he will continually sit under my table forever. Amen. Amen. Forever. That young man never left his father again. Amen. I'm glad that salvation is forever. Amen. It's as if, as good as if I'm already seated in the position, in my seat at the Father's house forever and forever. When he gives everlasting life, eternal to them who'll come unto him. This Father loves you this morning. Our Heavenly Father paid the price. He put the fatted calf. He's got the robe set up. He's got the shoes your size. The robe your size. Your ring finger will fit his ring. Hallelujah. He's ready for you to come home. When me and Miss D married, I didn't know anything about a size of a ring. A ring is an emblem, symbolic of everlasting circle. Amen. It's what we have here in my hand, an everlasting circle. This is symbolizing my everlasting love for my wife. Amen. And I gave her a ring for showing that I love her for everlasting and everlasting. But I didn't know her size. And when I went to go get it, I had to just guess. Well, I missed the size. And afterwards, we had to go get that thing sized. But our Heavenly Father's love is much greater than my love, even for her. And oh, I'd wade blood neck deep for my wife. I'm telling you, I love her. There ain't a human being on this planet that I love any more than I do my wife. Amen. And I don't love her as much as I love Jesus. It's a different kind of love. But I'm going to tell you, amen, and I'd wade blood for her, but my Father loved me, and he did wade blood for me. Amen. On my behalf. This morning, you're here. And you're either like the younger son that knows you're saved, and you know you need to make a move this morning. What are you going to do? Are you going to keep on wasting your living? You've already been in want. I'm talking about the inside now. I'm not talking about the outside. There's something you're longing for that only God can feel. And you've come to a place of want. It's what he did. He come to himself. And he found himself in want, in need of his Father. This morning, you know you need him. Why don't you come on home? Why don't you come to the Father? Some of you may be here this morning, and like the other son, you may be so wrapped up in religion and knowledge and all of these things, but you don't know the Father. Don't know you're lost. Sometimes I wonder if you're not in the worst shape. The Holy Spirit come and let you know you're far, far away, even though you're sitting in the pew of a church house this morning. Would you come home? Would you come on to the Father while we stand this morning?